Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
I really believe that God has given me a specific word and a specific word for this specific day to a specific group of people. And I want to talk to you about settling some ministry issues, and I want to talk to you about an attitude that was in the servant by the name of Simon Peter. Now, let me tell you something. Us preachers, most of us are going to have to repent when we see Simon Peter. We've given him a hard time. We've called him, salty face, loud mouth, open your mouth only to change feet type of guy, Peter. But I'm going to tell you something right now. None of us in this room, including the guy that's speaking today, is worthy of tying his sandals. I'm just telling you. Simon Peter was one of those guys that, by the way, you probably wouldn't want to be around, but you always missed it when you weren't around him. He spoke more than any other disciple in the Gospels. He was always loud. He was always wrong, louder than all the others. If he didn't know what to say, he said something anyway. Twice he came to Jesus, once while he was on the water, once while he was in the water. And Simon Peter was one of those guys that you just liked. Jesus never told stories for entertainment. Jesus never told stories for enjoyment. He never got a group of people together and said, hey, listen, let me just tell you a story. So in Matthew chapter 20, what you have is a parable. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, but it comes out of the context. You know that the chapters 19 and 20, they're not inspired. You do know that. That part of the Bible is not inspired. That's put there so preachers don't preach too long, and we do anyway. So chapter 20 is a story, but it comes out of the backdrop of a story in chapter 19 of something that actually happened. And what actually happened was there in verses from 16 through 30, a rich young ruler comes to Christ, and he refused to give all, he refused to follow Christ, and he asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, when Jesus told him, well, you want to talk about doing, let me give you something you cannot do, I'll give you the law, and he gives him four or five of those things out of ten, and he says, well, I've done those from my youth up. He said, well, great, then you'll have no problem selling all that you've got, and coming, follow me. In other words, when you don't sell all you have, and then you really are not proving that you love man as you do yourself. And when you won't follow me, you're not proving you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. So you have broken all the commandments, in essence, and basically the man, the Bible says, was sorrowful at that statement. Now Peter's listening to all of this. And Peter's knowing that he's given up father and mother and houses and land to come follow Jesus. So Peter kind of blurts out in verse 27, which sets up the whole story of chapter 20. He says to him, Lord, what shall we get? And Jesus looked at him and went, really? Is that where we're going here today? Well, follow the story. He says... Verse 27, we've left all and followed you. What do we get? What do we have? He said, Peter, surely I say to you that in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of glory, those who follow me are going to sit on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's left houses and brothers and sisters and fathers and mother, wife or children, land for my name's sake, you're going to get 100-fold. And beyond, you're going to inherit eternal life. Now, Peter, you think you're the first. You could be the last. In fact, the last may be first. Peter, I'm not sure I like what I hear. I mean, really? Seriously? You're going to want to know what do you get in ministry? Yeah? Well, let me tell you a story, Peter. The kingdom of heaven, he says in verse 1, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Now, Jesus had seen this hundreds of times. He'd been to the labor halls. He knew exactly how they worked. Both the soldier and the day worker, they got paid every day. He didn't get paid every 2 weeks. You got a denarius for the day. And he goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's going to go again at 9. He's going to go again at noon. He's going to go again at 3. And then the last hour of the day, because the 12 hours in the day from 6 to 6. And so he's telling this story. And he says, when he had agreed, verse 2, that's a real important word there. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And went out the third hour, and he saw the others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, "You also go in the vineyard, and whatever's right I will give you." So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and he found others standing idle and said, "Why have you guys been standing here idle all day?" And they said, "Because no one's hired us." And he said, "Well, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, you'll receive." So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning from the last to the first." And when they came who hired about the 11th hour, each received a denarius. Well, when the first came, they supposed, man, they're going to receive more. They also received likewise a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "Well, you know what? This is not fair. These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who bore the burden and the heat of the day." And he answered them and said, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree for denarius? Take what's yours, go your way. I wish to give the last men the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish for my own things? Is your eye evil because I'm good? I mean, you're really going to compare yourself to this guy, other people?" So the last shall be first, and the first last, and the many are called and few are chosen. Seriously, Peter? Seriously, in ministry, you want to know what you're going to get? Let me tell you what happens in seminary. Let me tell you what happens in ministry. And I'm only up on this platform so you could see me. I'm not on this platform because I'm greater or because I've had more experience or because the church, that pastor is larger. Forget all that. I come to you as an equal. I come to you as a peer. I come to you as a fellow servant. The servant that 2 Corinthians 4 talks about, the servant that's the lower oar in the ship. The slave gallows ship. That's what we are. That's all we are. We're servants. And Peter's got an attitude, and it's an attitude that's real easy to get. You may not have it now. I mean, right now everything's like, man, are you kidding me? This is great. But you can backslide with a Bible under your arm. And boy, you're taking these classes, and listen, there's going to be a day where, you know, they're going to actually pay you to do something in ministry. Now, I know right now you're on food stamps, and that's not working real well for you and your family, and you're thinking, listen, where do you sign up for that check? But yeah, I know it hadn't happened, but believe me, one day, they're going to say the labor is worthy of its hire, and God's going to call you, and the church is going to pay you. Now, here's what Jesus is saying, Peter. Don't bargain with me. Point number one, don't bargain with me. What's the ministry issue? The ministry issue you've got to settle and I've got to settle is the money issue. I mean, if you're going to be in ministry, let me tell you something. You've got to settle the money issue. Because if you go to a place for money, you'll leave for money. And you know, you get to the place where you'll say, well, you know what, I don't understand this. And there, let me tell you something. In ministry, there'll always be more pastors. There'll be student pastors. There'll be worship leaders. There'll be mission. There'll be women, people in ministry. They're doing women ministry. There'll be those. And let me tell you something. They're going to make more than you make. And if you've got an eye on the contract, see, there's two types of workers here. And he says, Peter, what kind of worker are you? See, there's the first group he sends out, and he says they agreed on a price. And they agreed means a denarius. You look at verse 4, you look at verse 7, there is no agreement. He says, whatever's right, just pay us whatever's right. And let me tell you something, what Jesus is saying is there's a difference between law and grace. You can be a covenant worker, or you can be a contract worker. You get to make the pick here. Contract workers work on a contract. Contract workers work by law. The problem with legalism is not that it gets what it wants. The problem with legalism is that it gets exactly what it deserves and exactly what it wants. And what he's saying to us in ministry is we are not contract workers. We are covenant workers. We don't work by the law. We work by grace. We give by grace. We love by grace. We're in this thing for grace. We never got in this thing for ministry. We never got in this thing for popularity. We don't even know where we're going to end one day. We may die on foreign soil, but guess what? One of these days we had to settle in our heart the ministry, the money issue. And you know what the money issue says? The money issue says, listen, I don't hang around with people that only have money. If I'm a student pastor, I hang around the kid that doesn't have any money and parents don't have any money. And you know what? In ministry, and I tell our staff all this all the time, buy somebody's lunch, for heaven's sakes, buy it. Because you get this, is there a ministry discount here? You ever heard that? Don't get one of those attitudes. What's a ministry discount? Is there a ministerial discount on this couch? You think they owe you that? Buy the lunch? No, when my lady take me out, they always buy lunch. I know they always buy lunch. Why don't you shock them? Hey, I got it. They'll go, really? I did that one time. My wife and I went, and I thought, you know what, we're going to, and I said, listen, it was a deacon that always used to take out lunch, and I said, Dale and Yvonne, I said, Dale, listen, we got it. You know what he said? He said, preacher. He said, put that showbread away. I said, showbread? He said, that's the same $10 you've had in your pocket since you got in ministry. He said, you just hold it up and show it, and it goes, I got it. You go, okay, good. And it got them little alligator arms. You go, oh, I got it. Buy lunch. Settle the ministry. Settle the money issue. Peter, listen to me. There's two kinds of workers here. There's a difference between law and grace. Both labors are paid just like a soldier. Both of them are paid a denarius a day. And what he does is he goes out at 6, and then he goes again at 9, and then he goes again at noon, and then he goes again at 3, and then he goes again at 5. But there's always two types of workers here. Peter, what do you get? See, let me tell you what Peter's problem. Peter's problem was this. He saw the rich young ruler. He was rich, and Peter was poor. The ruler gave up nothing. Peter gave up everything. And yet the ruler's still rich and Peter's still poor. And even though Jesus said, you know, Peter, in the next life you're going to get 100-fold. I'm going to take care of you. You got to walk by faith. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The first funeral you do or the first revival you preach, they're going to pay you. And you're going to say, no, you can't pay me. You're going to pay me to do a funeral? You're going to pay me to do a wedding? Are you? No, please, I can't. And then they're going to throw the big trump card, don't rob me of a blessing. You're going, well. Now, you get in this thing about 15, 20 years. Let me tell you what happens. I don't know how it happens. I don't know the day it happens, but something happens. On your way back to the truck from the gravesite, you're ripping that envelope up to see what's in it. There's a point where you're going, pay me? Now you're going, $50. $50. Cheap family, $50. I spent 2 days with you for $50. What happened? I know what happened. You forgot grace. You forgot why you got in this. Don't bargain with God. And then he says something else, Peter. Don't bookkeep with me. Don't bookkeep with God. See, you get better pay if you let God keep the books. See, they, there's two types of workers, and it starts drawing clues. And Peter sees exactly where this is going. He doesn't like where it's going, but he knows where it's going. He says, Peter, you know what? The guy who worked only 1 hour, he got a certain paycheck. And the guy that worked 12 hours looked at it and said, wait a minute, we worked 12 hours. Peter says, you know, I've given up one boat, I've given up one net, I've given up one fishing business. And boy, Peter's got the books. He's writing all down. What do I get out of this? And Jesus said, Peter, I'm not doing anything wrong here. I'm not doing anything wrong. And you see, in ministry, you're going to have to come to the place, here's the ministry issue you got to settle. It's not just the money issue, it's the comparison issue. See, when Jesus said, "Have I done? Is your eye evil? Do you think I've done something wrong?" Your eye evil, which means, you know where you got your eye? You got your eye on the other person. Now let me tell you what happens in ministry. What happens in ministry is that we see churches that have bigger staff and a bigger budget and a bigger, and everywhere we count them, because I don't know where we came up with the idea that more is more. But all of a sudden you say, you know, one of two things are going to happen. You're either going to be filled with pride, hey, we're better than they are, or you're going to be filled with envy. And you're going to feel like, man, I'm worthless as a minister. You know why men and women get out of ministry? Because they somehow got the idea that when they start comparing themselves to somebody else, that favor isn't fair. And so they come to the conclusion that, you know what, if much is more, then I don't have much, then I must not be more. In fact, I must be little. And you're going to confuse your worth and work, and you're going to confuse value with valuables. And he said, Peter, seriously? Seriously? You see, when you keep the books, here's what happens. I get off at 4:30. That's what I get off at. You know what? In ministry, you don't have a 4:30. You know, sometimes you get interrupted at night. Sometimes in the middle of the night. I had a guy call me. I had a lady call me, told me her husband was dying, woke me dead out of sleep. I'm not responsible for talking in my sleep. I don't even remember till my wife told me what I said to her. I said to her, listen, don't bother me. I'm sleeping. And I hung up the phone. She said, what did you just do? I said, I don't know. What did I just do? She said, you just told the lady, I don't care about your husband, what happened. You're sleeping and don't bother you. I said, I didn't say that. She said, before God you said that. I said, what was her name? She told me her name. I said, what was the hospital? I called one of my deacons. I said, you got to come pick me up right now. We got to go to the hospital. You got to help me out. And I said, ma'am, I am so sorry. I don't remember you calling. You're going to get a call like that. Let me tell you what something that just chaps a pastor. What chaps a pastor is to have staff people that go on. Now, that's not my responsibility. I don't do late. Listen, I'm not going to hurt my family. We're not asking you to hurt your family. We're asking you to hurt your golf game. Because duties and responsibilities don't conflict. You have a responsibility to be a husband, and responsibility to be a servant of God, and responsibility to be clean, and responsibility in ministry. You have a duty at your church. And duties and responsibility don't conflict. What does conflict, though, is the softball league you're playing in. And you might have to trim that back for your kids, or trim that back. But you see, when you start using ministry, and when you start saying, well, you know what, I can't do that. Your pastor's not asking you to hurt your family. But you know what? If you got one of those ideas where you're keeping the book, listen, let God keep the books. You get better pay if you let. There's a difference, watch this. There's a difference between watching the clock and watching the store. Watch the store. Let God watch the clock. I served under a hero, really, of Southern Baptist faith, but he's also my spiritual daddy, Dr. Adrian Rogers. You may have heard about him because of the conservative resurgence in 1979 when he was elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was the real deal. I mean, he had a voice that was deep, and when he called you, you didn't know if God called you or the pastor called you, but he, and I mean, the tongue in his mouth, the tongue in his shoe, they went the same direction. He walked his walk, he talked his talk. Never ever did I, in the 8 years with him, never once did I ever say, hey, there's just us guys here. Hey, guys, listen to this. Never. He was just authentic. He says he remembered one time the difference between watching the clock and watching the store. And here's the story Adrian Rogers told. He said, I worked it years ago, and of course this is before Dead Sea got sick. This is a long time ago. He said, years ago, I was a soda jerk. I'll tell you how old he is. A soda jerk is the guy that kind of wears that funny hat. I mean, if you saw It's a Wonderful Life, you can sell drugs and make milkshakes. You could be the same guy out of the same store. That's kind of what happened back in those small towns. And that's what he did. And they said, we closed at 9 o'clock at night. He said, I remember one night, it was 8:55, and I got out my watch, and I started looking at it, and I got the key because I was getting to lock up. I was going to lock up that night. And he said, and I waited, and he said, okay, 4 minutes. And then he said, 2 minutes. And he said, I went over to the door. And he said, 1 minute. And he stuck the key in, and he said, and I just watched down. He said, 45. Now it's 30, 15, 10, 9, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Click. And he said, he pulled the key out. And the man come by and start banging on the window. And he went, it's 9 o'clock. Closed. He said, 9 o'clock. Closed. Go home. 9 o'clock. And the guy dropped his head and walked off. He said he turned around and there was the boss. The guy that owned the place. He said, hello. Guy says, Adrian, did you just lock the door? It's 9 o'clock. We're closed. He said, Adrian, do you know who that man is?
No.
He said, that man comes every Thursday and gets here work as fast as he can because he knows what time we like to close and gets medicine for his wife. Adrian, we've never turned anybody away at this door. And Dr. Rogers said it began to dawn on him the difference between watching the clock and watching the store. You're going to have to settle the comparison issue. Everything that's gold, everything that glitters, not gold. Because a ministry has more doesn't make them more. Don't confuse value with valuables. Don't confuse work with worth. I don't know how to help you with that, but I'm just telling you, we live in a convention, a denomination, and a church world that, man, I mean, it's always about, you know, and here's what Paul said. Paul said we're going to be stand before God and give an account for what sort it is, not what size. I think we ought to weigh them personally. Forget counting them. Maybe we ought to weigh them. And you see, that's a different paradigm than what you hear many times. But Peter, are you going to bookkeep with me? Is that what you're going to do? Don't bargain with God. Don't bookkeep with God. Here's the third principle. Don't blame God. In ministry, you not only settle the comparison issue and the ministry issue, but I want to tell you there's a third thing here that you're going to have to settle. And I'm going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to settle the sovereignty issue. The sovereignty issue means this. Being just is better than being fair. See, when they came in and started cashing in their check and they started saying it, the guy that got 12, he said he worked 12 hours and he got one denarius, but that's what he agreed to. That was the law. And the other one said, just do what's right. And he said, I'll give you what's right. I'll give you a denarius. And he said, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not fair, he says. Fair is a human concept. Let me tell you something. God's not fair. He's just. In Genesis 18:25, said, not the judge of all the earth, do what's right. And somewhere in ministry, and somewhere in your life, and somewhere in your marriage, and somewhere with your kids, and somewhere with walking with God, you just got to say, God, you're just. When you're a pastor like this pastor who walks to this pulpit today, and you don't know much about me at all, except if I told you that years ago I did a funeral for a couple I love and we're dear friends in our church, and their 16-year-old was killed in a car wreck. They have two boys. It was a sad day. And a year ago, after what we thought he'd overcome melanoma for 5 years and the rate drops down to about 10%, he's going to be okay. It flares back up. And apart from a miracle from God, both of their sons are going to die. And I can't get my arms around that. And sometimes there's a rage that goes on inside. I just have to keep going back to the book. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what's right? Didn't seem right. But I'm just the servant. Peter, will you trust me? I mean, will you forget all this other stuff of what you're going to... Will you just trust me? That I'm going to pay what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I am going to be right. And you can't judge your life by whether you're a success, because even Galatians says that what happens is that there's a seed that's being sown, and sometimes you'll misunderstand the seed, sometimes you'll misinterpret the season, sometimes you misjudge success, and you're in a season right now and you're thinking, man, this is a horrible time in my life, and it might be, but guess what? The Bible says that there was a church. You remember the book of Acts? Paul was preaching at Thessalonica, and just right down the road, 50 miles, there was a church called Berea. And the church of Berea received the word with readiness of 50 miles down the road, and he's preaching in Thessalonica, and hardly anything's happening. You can't judge your ministry based on the seed. The seed's the word. It's always going to be good. Sometimes it's the soil. Sometimes it'd be more biblical if we kept the pastor and fired the whole church. Peter, is that where we're going with this conversation? Well, we bore the heat of the day, they said. We've been here. Wait till you pastor, and people say, wait, that's not... Pastor, do you know that some visitors got up and left because somebody walked in and said, that's my pew? Let me tell you something. You pastor, you're going to get a pain you can't even locate when you hear that. You say, are you somebody in the right church? Yeah, yeah. So this is our pew. Can I tell you something? The rule in the kingdom of God is not seniority. It's servanthood. Nobody has a pew in our church. Now, we've got a few who think they do. But that's not how this thing runs. That's not how this thing works.
We bore the heat of the day. We built this church. Those are our doilies. Those are our little knickknacks. This is the TEL class. You can't move my class. Watch us.
I don't know if you know Herb Revis or not, but Herb is one of my favorites. He's just a preaching machine. He's one of my favorite guys in all the world. Herb's a guy that said he preached in North Jackson one Sunday night, and he said, I had a choice. I walked by a Sunday school classroom. I preached all day. I was tired. And he said, I heard some people talk. And I said, I thought to myself, I'll either be ministerial or I'll ignore them and go home. I'm tired. He said, I chose to be ministerial. Bad decision. He said, I walked by, and he said, I walked in and said, hi, folks, how you doing? One of them looked at me and said, Pastor, I need to see you right now in the hallway. He said, all right. He walked out there and he said, what can I do for you? You know why we're meeting? No. Do you know what they're going to do to our classroom? No. They're going to move it. Said they need it for another class that's growing. Now, Pastor, listen to me. Because I'm going to say this once. If they move our classroom, I will never be back to this church. Herb looked at him and he said, like most pastors, this is what we kind of do. We don't know what to do. You know, let me look into that. Let me look into that. And he said, the next morning he slept. And the next morning he went to the office, and his secretary, first words out of her mouth, did you hear what happened to so-and-so last night? He said, I just talked to him last night outside a Sunday school class. Him? Yeah. He died in his sleep. Now, Herb said, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to say this for a point. I'm just making an observation. The guy never went back to the Sunday school classroom. Listen, don't blame God.
Don't bookkeep with God. What's the point here? And I close. Believe God. Believe what? Believe, what's this, that another man's blessing is never your loss. Peter, if I bless somebody else, that's not your loss. I had a pastor say to me time, he said, just one time in my ministry, I'd like to be on the good end of a church split. Just one time in my ministry. Do you know they're going to leave your church and go other churches? And you're going to fight that. And you're going to feel horrible. And you got to settle not only the kingdom issue, and you have to settle not only the money issue and the comparison issue and the sovereignty issue. But let me close with this. You got to settle the character issue. You know why people quit? Character. Character. My spiritual daddy told me that when he went to seminary, he looked around and he saw the people. He said, he's not in there. He's not. She. And he went through a list of people and said, they're no longer in ministry. What happened? Look around this room, because some of these folks will not be in ministry. What happens? And then he saw a character flaw. Here's what he said. They parked in handicapped parking spots because the rules didn't apply to them. They took books out of the library, didn't check it out because it didn't apply to them. They didn't have to follow copyright laws when they printed music because the rules didn't apply to their worship team. And he said they cut little corners in ministry. And you have to understand something. Reputation is the photograph. Character is the face. Reputation is what you're supposed to be. Character is what you are. Reputation is what you have when you come to a new community. Character is what you have when you leave it. Reputation is what you are in the light, but character is what you are in the dark. Reputation is what men say about you and put on your tombstone. Character is what the angels of God say about you before the throne. And sometimes it's too early to call whether you have character or not. Because you can have reputation. So I came today as a fellow minister and a fellow servant to say, I'll try to live with this if you will. Because sometimes I'm kind of like Peter. Lord, what do I get out of this? He said, really? Is that where we're going? No, I got in it for grace. I got in it not knowing where he'd send me. Still don't. I got in it knowing that he's God of all the earth and he's just. And I'm not going to bargain with him. I don't want to bookkeep with him. I'm not going to blame him. I'm just going to believe him. I'm going to believe him that he places his soldiers on the field wherever he so chooses. And in my heart of hearts, what I'm trying to do in life is settle these issues. The money issue, the character issue, the kingdom issue, the comparison issue. And I hope you'll do the same. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we can learn a lot from this story. And it's something like swallowing something and it just continuing to swell inside of us. Because it's real easy after a while for us to say, but we've been doing this a long time. And Lord, it's better starting late than quitting early. You went to the 11th hour and said, would you join us? And God, what a privilege it is to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and extend invitation to people in their 70s and 80s, realizing they only got about an hour left in their life. And yet your grace says it's okay. They can come in just like the 7-year-old came in. Lord, you're glorious. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our work. May we dial it up, serve you faithfully till Christ comes again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.